The there we go. It's alive. Happy, happy Easter to each and every single one of you. Well, it's not that time for the year. It feels as if I saw you people last year for the last year. I haven't seen you in a year. Happy New Year to each and every single one of you. I just want to speak this scripture verse over each one of us. Eerstens, die 33:53 vertaling. Geliefde, ek wens dat het met julle in alles goed mag gaan. En dat jy gezond is, soos dit met jou siel goed gaat. That's 3 John. Usually one chapter and the second verse. In English, dear friends, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. That's our prayer for each and every single one of you. May your best of 2022 be your worst of 2023. Dis 'n onbekende toekoms wat vir ons wag daar buite, maar daai onbekende toekoms is nou wel bekende God se hande. He's got the whole world in his hands. We discussed that last week. So, fear not, I'm with you, says the Lord. He says, you'll never ever leave us or forsake us. This morning's message is entitled New Year's Day. It's original, isn't it? New Year's Day 2023, Christ's commitment versus our commitment. We enter into a time of year as people celebrate the new year. What do they make? They make New Year's resolutions. Okay, Nuwe Jaars? Voorwense. Voornemens. Ek het so gedink, ja. En ek is Engelssprekend. Julle moet regkom, julle broertjies, né? Nuwe Jaars voornemens. Okay, so we're not going to do that this morning. Instead of making New Year's resolutions, it's a fitting time for us to think about the commitments that God has made to us already and take stock of the commitments that we make to Him in return. Is that okay? So for a few minutes, we're going to look at what are the commitments, what are the promises that God has made to us? What promises are you standing on? By means to say, ek staan op die woord. Put die Bybel down, jy staan op die woord. Okay, maar watter van die omtrent so 8000 beloftes daar binnen en maak jy opstaat? What are you trusting God for? Are you believing for yourself? You see, it staan daar so in hoofstuk en vers and say, Lord, I'm trusting you for this. I'm believing you. It's not just some, you're clutching at its straws, hoping that iets in jou leven gaan gebeur van daar boe af. But you're trusting God because His word says it. God has said it. I believe it and that settles it. What promise are you trusting God in? So we're going to look at some of God's commitments. Then we're going to look at our commitments, if we've made any, in response to the commitments that God has for us. I'm going to look at 4 this morning, and there are many, just 4, that the Lord laid on my heart to share with us this morning. Number 1, God has promised to always be with us. How many times in 2022 have you felt like, Here, waar is He nou? Where is God when I need Him the most? Don't raise your hand. And sometimes people speak about, things are going so bad in this God-forsaken country. My brother, my sister, there's no such place as a God-forsaken place. There's people that have forsaken God, but there's no such place where the Here sy hande af was and say, that's it. There will, at the end of everything, come a time where, the people are in 2 categories. The one category, the person says, Ja, Here, laat U wil geskied word in my lewe. Let Your will be done. And there are people to whom God must say, all right then, have it Your way. You see, God is a gentleman, and the Holy Spirit will not force Himself upon anybody ever. I wish it was like that God just automatically programmed me to do good all the time. But then there wouldn't be the aspect of love involved, because love involves free will and exercising your will to choose to embrace the things of God for your life. So the first thing is, God has promised to always be with us. Even in South Africa, even in the midst of the political mess, the financial mess, the brandstofprys wat so hoog is, the inflation, I don't know what to believe anymore when the economists speak, because in this morning in the pre-service prayer meeting, I shared that one economist was optimistic for 2023. And someone in the prayer meeting shared and said that they're predicting a recession. I don't know. But all I know is that we've gone through like seriously big recessions, I think. And wherever I drive, not everywhere, but in some places you still see those cranes, en die geboue word nog steeds gebou, die mense koop nog steeds nuwe karre, nuwe speelgoed, nuwe beleggings hier en daar, so I don't know, I'm sure the recession, maybe the recession means dat ons net een voertuig het en nie drie in die garage nie. Of die recession beteken ons moet 'n ou gewone, doodgewone elektriese fan aansit in steede van 'n aircon. Miskien is dit wat recessie beteken, ek is nie seker nie. But God has promised that He will always be with us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. This is a chapter in the Bible that confirms that the men have to make coffee for their wives. Because it says Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Don't love money. Notice it doesn't say don't have money. Don't love money. It's one of the most misquoted scriptures to say money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. We need money to function in this world because that's how the world system works. Okay. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. Dit beteken ook nie dat jy nie hoef, dat jy nie moet streef na iets beter nie. Okay? Because I also believe that nothing is ever so good that there's no room for improvement. But if I'm mislik and think, I'm only going to be happy if I get, dan is dit verkeerd. Lord, I'm content with what I have, but thank you, Lord, that the best is yet to come. Can you see the godly balance there, church? It says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Mense, dis goeie nuus. I will never abandon you. Even if it feels like that sometimes. Often in our walk with God, we say, you know, I feel so far from God. How can you be far from a God that's omnipresent? Hy is alomteenwoordig. Hoe kry jy dit reg? Maar ons voel so. Dis wat ons ervaar, afhangend van waar ons is in ons wandel met die Here. But God has promised, I'll never fail you. I will never abandon you. Matthew 28 and verse 20, Jesus says, teach these disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's this age. We're in that age. He promises us He will be with us to the very end. The second commitment and promise that God has made is God has promised to always guide us. Isn't it encouraging that in the complication of spirituality, God promises us that He'll guide us? There are so many different things being taught out there, so many things that we can believe in, so many philosophies and principles that we can hold on to in love, that Jesus brings the simplicity of His gospel to us. And you know, folks, what Christianity is all about, it's so simple. Love God, love people. Dis nie 'n klomp reëls en regulasies wat 'n kerkraad vir jou sê, jy moenie, jy mag nie, jy gaan gestraf word, you must dress like this, act like this, do like this, worship on this day. That's just not the way it is. Love God and love people. Is that okay with you, church? Let's strive to get that right. Sê, julle is oulik hoor. Ek like julle stukke meer en oor 1000. But to love the unlovable, to love the unlovable, that's where Christianity comes to the fore. That's where we really can be identified if we are His followers or not. Jesus said the world will know that we are His disciples by the buildings that we build and the names that we put on and the badges that we wear. Hemel bestormer. Ek ry vir Jesus. Hallelujah. No. He said they'll know that they are my disciples by the love that they have one for another. And where does that start? At home, in the church, and then out there in the streets. Dis makliker gesê as wat dit gedoen is, mense. Really, it's hard loving the unlovable, isn't it? You see, it's easy for us to love each other, but to love people that are different to us, love people that hate us, that persecute us, they want to attack us and kill us, it's challenging, eh? It's challenging, and that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we can see, are we real or are we just plastic fake Christians? We're undercover in the week and on Sunday we surface. And we put on our Sunday best and our Sunday faces and in the week we're all undercover and we're just like same old, same old. You can't see the difference between us and the world out there. May it not be like that amongst us folks. So God has promised to always be with us. Jesus says, teach them to obey all the commands I've given you. Be sure of this. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The third thing God has promised us, He's promised to always guide us. He'll always guide us. Somebody has once compared respectfully the messages that God speaks and the prompting of the Holy Spirit and how He communicates to you. God speaks in various ways. It's like a 24/7, 365 day of the year radio station. God is always busy broadcasting something, but we're not always tuned in to that radio station. Somtijds is ek ingeskakel op Radio Bosluis. And I listen to all the nonsense that's out there and all the negativity. And yeah, South Africa, daar's nie toekoms vir my kinders in hierdie land nie. Well, guess what? If you say so, according to your faith, be it unto you. But if you believe that the best place to be is in the middle of God's will, jy kan op Timbuktu wees, man, 'n verlate eiland daar tussen ergens en nêrens, put so 'n waterstraat. And God will move for you and do the impossible for you because you're trusting and believing Him that He's got His best in plan for you. And no matter where you are, as long as you are walking with God, it is going to go well with your soul. Maak dit sin vir julle. Wat help dit? Ek pak alles. Lock, stock and barrel. I pack everything and I go live in another country where it's apparently better and I'm right out of God's will for my life. Die werklikheid van die lewe gaan jou pynt afklap. Hoor wat ek vir jou sê vanoggend. If you're out of God's will, I don't care how prosperous that country is, I don't care how clean the streets are, whether all the lights work and everything works, if you're out of God's will, man, jy gaan mislik wees, hoor. Jy gaan mislik, I almost said, jy gaan 'n brommer wees, but that's a bietjie onchristelik hierso, om dit te sê. God has promised that He will always guide us. Psalm chapter 32 and verse 8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Yo, man, this bemoediging for me. Because you know how much I know about running a church? Nada, zilch. Jesus Christ said, He will build His church. Me, like you, have the privilege of working with Jesus. That's a bonus, isn't it? I can't build a church, man. I don't care what degree I have, or certificate, diploma, whatever. I can't build Jesus' church. He said that He will build His church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I think it's Matthew 16:18. I knew that. I was just testing you. There you go. That's what it says. Okay, it's Matthew 16:18. So it says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Notice, geliefdes, it doesn't say I will force you. I will make you do it. I'll advise you. Here's what the word says. This is what the Spirit of God is showing you. There's confirmation. The choice is yours. So it's a challenge, né? That we have that free will. Okay. The central letter in the word sin is I. And sometimes you say, the devil made me do this and the devil did it. Sometimes is die duivel besig met ander goed op ander plekke because hy kan nie alomteenwoordig wees nie. He's nowhere near you. But you are ruling and reigning in the kingdom of self. And that's where we need to submit our will to the Lordship of Jesus. I'll advise you. I'll guide you. And He says He'll show you the way. Proverbs 3 and verse 6. It's mentioned in the offering this morning. We're going to speak about it this morning as well. Proverbs 3 and verse 6. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. And there's an apostolic order here. First seek His will, and then He'll show you the path. Can you see the humility there? Say, Lord, this is what I'd like. This is what I want to do. Jesus, my plan, maar ek lê al daai voor U, Here. Laat U heerskap by die finale sê het in hierdie situasie. Laat U wil geskied word. And then, that's the way, Lord. He makes it clear. But if you come up there and you voeter voort op your own plans, and then you say, Lord, please bless what I am doing. Shouldn't we rather be getting involved with what God is already blessing? Hello? Is this ministering to anybody this morning? Is it making sense to somebody? Say amen. Okay. The next thing, God has promised to always provide for us. Always provide for us. You know, the only place in Scripture where God says to us, test me. Test and see if I'm a real God. Test and see if I keep my word. Test and see if I'm real, is concerning financial matters. Why is that? I wish God would said, believers will go out in my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Test me and prove me. I wish that was the case. Man, I'd go into the hospital in the ICUs and I'd say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And God still does that. But that's what I would do if God says, test me and prove me. Why does he use financial matters? I'm going to teach you why this morning. You see, when we can see God move in the natural physical realm that we can see and hear and touch and taste and feel, it becomes easy to believe God for the things we cannot see and the things we cannot discern, the stuff in the spiritual realm. So that's why God says in the natural, test me, you watch, I'll provide. When we see how God physically provides like that for the seen realm, it becomes easy to believe God for the unseen supernatural realm. And because he's a loving, caring father that's gentle with us, he wants us to go through this growth process. He's promised to always provide. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. And then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. God is not just the God of the after you get your paycheck in the beginning of the month God. He's the God right through to the very, very last. That's the God. He's El Shaddai. That means more than enough. He's not the God of just enough. He's the God of good measure, pressed down, shaken together and overflowing. That's the God that we serve. Philippians 4 and verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Is that good news? Then let your face know that it's good news. Okay. The next thing that God has promised. God has promised that Jesus will return. Hallelujah. Jesus will return. And as Brother Angus Bucken says, Uncle Angus, Jesus is not coming again. He's already on his way. He's on his way. That's what God has promised. Matthew 24 and verse 30. And then at last, when the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning among all the peoples of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He promised this will happen. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? This is after Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. So to recap quickly, God's promises quickly. He promised to always be with us. He promised to always guide us. He promised to always provide. He promised that Jesus will return. Now, let's look at our commitments. In the light of these commitments that God has made, let's weigh our commitments up. Let's ask ourselves this question this morning. Ask yourself, myself, have I promised to always walk with Christ as God has promised to always be with me? You might say quickly, yes, I have. It's easy, Mozzie. Well, even when the world demands that we compromise our Christian values, ach, die Here verstaan, man. Sit daar ook klein bietjie sondertjie hier so anyway. Die Here is 'n God van vergifnis en liefde. Hy verstaan maar. Dit is so ou bietjie. You know, that's all it takes for the devil to trap you. That just little bit of compromise. That's all he needs. Thy klein voetjie in die deur. And then you cannot slam that door shut face in his face anymore because of the compromise in your life. That's all the devil needs. It's just that little bit of a gap. Have we always promised to walk with Christ, even when the world demands that we compromise? You get? Ach, there's no... It's, you just take a little bit of something from the work that doesn't belong to you. Die Here verstaan. Dis vir die kerk se pamflet in any case. Die Here verstaan. Dan steel jy daar 'n paar bladsye. Jy maak net gou 'n paar fotostate with your employer's resources at the office. Met die Here verstaan is vir die werk van die Here in any case. So when the person makes a mistake at the till, I don't know, they do it very little these days, and they give you more change than you should have, do you give it back? Or you, yes, I scored. Woohoo! Ek het geskoor, maat. Or do you take it back and say, listen, it's your mistake. Jan tax. Belasting. Dis vir 'n ander preek. Dis vir 'n ander reeks preke daai hoor. Dis 'n ander storie daai. Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Ja, me in my slimheid, I say, ja, but what if it's not Caesar's? Moet ek dit dan ook vir hom gee? My brother, my sister, in John chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, whatever he tells you to do, do. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Be obedient to what God is telling you to do. So, the question is, have we always promised to walk with Christ, even when the world demands that we compromise our Christian values? Matthew 26, verse 33 to 34. And Peter declared, even if everyone else deserts you, this is Peter, eh? I will never desert you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you know me. It's amazing that that's one of the things that we remember Peter for. But we should also remember remember him for this, that Jesus restored him also three times. He said, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed. Three times he restores Peter. Peter goes out. His first sermon that he preaches, 3,000 people born again, Netzua. The Old Testament based on the lives of two mighty apostles, Paul and the apostle Peter, the one who denied Jesus. Yes, the one who sank, but he walked on the water for a distance. What about the rest of the disciples that sat in the boat and didn't try anything? I wonder, when Peter got back into the boat, when Jesus helped him in the boat, what did the disciples say? Yeah, I told you it would never work. Well, I'd rather try and fail than never try at all. Peter walked on the water for a distance, julle. Hy het op die water geloop. Okay. So, our promise in response to God promising that he'll always be with us. The next thing. Have we promised to always let God guide us instead of self-reliance, waar ons op onself staat maak, and worldly wisdom, die wêreld van die wysheid, die wysheid van die wêreld, al die mense is daar maar slim, hey. They can do all sorts of clever things, all sorts of incredible inventions. It's just incredible. There's a BMW motorcycle that can ride itself, can turn by itself, take corners by itself. Oh, look, nee. Yeah, but we don't even have an answer for world peace. We don't even have an answer for world poverty. Jesus said, the poor will always be amongst you. When he supernaturally provided for the Israelites in their journey from Egypt to the promised land, even amongst them, where he sent quail, they wanted meat, he gave them meat till it came out of their nostrils. They ate angels' food. They had water from the rock. That's, by the way, that's where soda water comes from. Moses struck the rock and soda water came out, eh? He provided supernaturally for them. Even amongst them, there were poor people in the midst of God's supernatural provision. Hoe verklaar jy dit? Why? Because there were still people that refused to let God provide for them. Isn't it like that today in the church? There are people that God is prospering because they are obedient, and other people that still just refuse to let go and let God. But he loves us all. So God's promised that he will always, always provide for us. He promises to guide us, and instead of self-reliance and worldly wisdom, are we letting God guide us? Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Yes, we do have understanding, but it's limited. Men, our understanding stops when it comes to women. Then it's like, huh? What do I do with this woman, Lord? That's why God says, husbands, live with your wives with understanding. Want hy het geweet, ons sal dit moet nodig kry. And I say that respectfully. Women don't understand themselves at times. They cry when they should laugh. They laugh when they should cry. You ask them, what's wrong? Nothing. That means, daar's baie verkeerd. Come on, man. That's why we love them. And that's how God beautifully put them together. He said, dwell with them with understanding. So there are things in life that we don't understand. Lord, I'm not relying in my own slimheid. It worked like this in the past. I had this recipe, ABC, 1, 2, 3, it worked. Nou werk het nie weer nie. Wat moet ek doen, Here? Come to God and say, Lord, I'm blowing this big time. God, please help me now. I need help, Lord. Romans 12 and verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. How does God change the way we think? Speak to me, church. How does God change the way we think? Somebody speak to me, please. Reading the Word. I think a certain way. I see something in the Word, a Christ-like principle, a biblical value. Oh, so this is what I must do. Dan pas ek dit toe in my lewe. And then do it. Then it changes me as a person. So that's how God changes my mind, through the Word, through the Word of God. By changing, turn you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The next question. Have we promised to trust God's promise of His provision for us by applying biblical financial principles? I call it biblical financial principles. Some people call it tithing, but some people switch right off and say, the Bible doesn't say that we must tithe. Jesus never said that we must. It's Old Testament, all these arguments, any excuse to get out of being a cheerful giver. But God loves a cheerful giver. Are we all in agreement with that? So regardless what side of the tithing camp you are on, we can agree that God wants us to be cheerful givers. Are we trusting God for His provision by applying biblical financial principles to our lives? Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. I often wondered, what does it mean to honor God with your possessions? Some translations say, I used to have a vehicle, I used to have that vehicle, and on it was a sticker that said I'm a Christian, at a sign. And then I realized, by the way I drive, I better take that off. So I took it off. Because how can I drive like a demon behind the steering wheel and then proclaim to be a Christian? You see, having all the stickers or whatever, if the walk doesn't match the talk, man sê net 'n ja, broer. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? Speak to me, church. Come on, man. How do you honor the Lord with your possessions? Well, how's about looking after it? Servicing it when it needs to be serviced. How's about just washing it and keeping it clean? How's about making the inside of your vehicle not look like a dustbin? There's 3 weeks of Kentucky Leahouers and McMickey D's and a slop chip rolls out when you brake too hard and the cool drunk mortals. Just look after your vehicle. Look after your vehicles. Look after your home. You know, is this making sense to anybody? Just be good stewards of that which God has entrusted you with. Come on, man. Come on, man. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the best part of everything you produce. Malachi 3 and verse 10. The people that do the offerings love this one, eh? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to make room for it. He says, try me, put me to the test. So how many of you have been so obedient in your finances that you've said to God, God, please stop blessing me. I've got too much. Anybody? Lord, please stop blessing me. I've got too much. No, what do? When the Lord blesses us, we just get a larger container. And the Lord blesses us. When do we get to the point where that container overflows? That we can start being a blessing to other people. Now we just get a larger container and a larger container and, and so gaan het maar aan. So Lord, you won't have room enough to contain it. Imagine we get to the point where, and you see the principle when they were building the temple, the people started bringing so much. They said, listen, stop. We've got more than enough to build God's temple. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that time, man. Come on. The next question. Have we promised to live our lives in such a way that it honors the promise of Christ's return? I'll say that again. Have we promised to live our lives in such a way that it honors the promise of Christ's return? Do we look like people that are looking forward to the return of Jesus? Do we look like people that will be ready when Jesus comes netsoe, like a thief in the night? You know, people think that it's going to be nacht in hell op aarde when Jesus returns. It's not. It says it's going to be like in the days of Noah. What was it like in the days of Noah? There was partying. There was abundance. They were trading and buying and selling and getting married. And they were gunning on. It was going lekker. And ewe skielik. They had more water than they ever bargained for. And then they thought, this cranky old man, he's building a boat. It hasn't even rained like this in our lifetime, and he's busy building a boat. He's lost his marbles. And we know that the ark is a type of and a shadow of salvation. God says, come, come into the ark. Come, celebrate what Jesus has done. Receive the completed work of the cross for your life, because that time is coming. So do we live our lives in such a way that it honors the return of Jesus? Does this one, I stopped typing and said, Lord, I've got to think about this. Does what we do as Christians make others look forward to a relationship with Jesus? Or do they look at us and think, if that's what Christianity is about, I want nothing to do with it. Why is it so quiet in the church this morning? Come on, guys, we're being real here. We're family here this morning. We can talk straight, isn't it? Does what we do with our lives make people look forward to having a life with Jesus? Does what we do make others look forward to Jesus' return? Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling, for you have been called by God. And then Hebrews 10:25. This passage people often share when they say, you see, there's the Bible says you must keep coming to church. But that's not what it actually teaches here. It's this place and only this place in the Bible. The words used here in the original language speaks about the return of Jesus, not our gathering like this. It speaks about the gathering when we're going to meet the Lord in the clouds at the rapture. That's what it speaks about. It is here and only here that it uses this language. And oftentimes, I've done it in the past, we misuse this and say, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. It's not speaking about this gathering. There are other scriptures that speaks about us getting together and coming to church. This is not that one. This one speaks about our gathering, meeting the Lord in the air. Hebrews 10:25, it says, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And I want to add this little footnote, the gospel according to Mozzie. It is now closer than it has ever been. The return of Jesus is closer than it was last week, Sunday. Some of you are excited about it. The return of Jesus is closer than it was when I started preaching. It can happen now, folks. Now. It was in 2015 that they guesstimated that the lost nations that had not yet heard the gospel being preached to them would have heard the gospel by, take a guess which year? 2022. It's gone. It's guesstimated. Whether it's happened or not, I don't know. The only unfulfilled prophecies for the return of Jesus is the signing of the peace treaty in the Middle East and the gospel being preached to every nation that has not yet heard. Dis al wat nog uitstaande is, julle. And then Jesus' return is now. I'm looking forward to that. There's lots of work to be done. There's lots of people that still haven't given their hearts to Jesus. Ma, I want Jesus to come back. I want Jesus to come back. I want us to recap. We've recapped the promises of God. What about our commitments? Have we promised to work to walk with Christ, even then when the world demands that we compromise. When you have to make a decision, when nobody else is watching you, nobody will see or give you glory, whatever. And you can choose to either do your own thing or honor God. What do you choose? It means following Jesus in those private places, those private times. That's our first commitment. The second thing, have we promised to always let God guide us instead of us relying on worldly wisdom? Number three, have we promised to trust God's promise of provision by applying biblical financial principles to our lives? And then the last one, are we living our lives in such a way that it makes people look forward to a relationship with Jesus? So church, as we are real with each other this morning, and let God speak into our hearts, because I come to church to change. I don't know about you. Amen. I come to church to change. I don't come because I've got nothing else to do on a Sunday morning. I could lay in the bed and do Egyptian PT till 11:30. But I choose to come, what's Egyptian PT, ne? Where you're overcome by the spirit of duvet, and you're lekker da. Je het een lekker slaap tak, net daar by jou huis. I come to church to change. So will we let God change us this morning? If you're sitting here this morning and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you on any of these areas in your life, and jy besef, ja, Mazie, die Heer het met my gepraat vir oggendprayer, and you want God to change you, right there where you're seated, do business with God. Whatever area there is in your life is the Holy Spirit guides you and prompts you in your heart, right there where you're seated, please just do business with God. Hoe doen jy dit? Eerstens, in nederigheid, kom jy voor die Here en sê, Here, ek bely. Ek het gefouteer in hierdie area. Here, ek het gesondig hierso. I've blown it, God, I'm sorry. I humbly come and I ask that you help me fix this. Lord, perhaps I've made these promises before and I've gone back on these promises. I'm not living like this anymore. I ask you, Jesus, by your Spirit, help me to live like this. Help me to live my life in such a way that it would encourage people to live a life following Jesus. Help me to trust you, God, with the finances you've given me. Help me to let you guide me. Lord, help me to recognize your voice, that I can onderskei. When is it the devil? When is it my own head? When is it the lies of other people? When is it God? My Father speaking to me. And Lord, help me to recognize and trust that you'll always be with me, even to the end of this age. And Lord, as your sons and daughters and your children pray this morning, Lord, thank you that you guide us. Thank you that we apply this to our lives and live lives that are different, that our lives change, and help us to change the lives of others to the praise and glory of your name. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen. Dankie dat julle so aandagtig geluister het vanoggend. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace. Enjoy the rest of New Year's Day. Whatever you're going to do, please travel safely, and God willing, we'll